Here with us for the Word of God. The Word of God gives us strength. It is a hiding place for us because it gives us instruction and correction and a way of life. Before I bring this message today on the power of the blood of Jesus, I would like to just recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit, because my words can fall on deaf ears, or we don't hear them, or our brains are wandering. But the Lord is the one that can bring it to our remembrance or can make it real to us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to us through a vessel. I thank you, Lord, that you have a word for us today. I pray that you will help us to receive your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. There is no greater gift that you could ever give than the blood of Jesus that saves us, redeems us, and for the things that you've done for us, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of the blood of Jesus is the title of my message today. And you say, well, why do you talk so much about the blood? Because without the blood, we have no redemption. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no hope. It is so important, and there are too many churches today, they're leaving it out and saying, forget it. The precious blood of Jesus is the strength and power of the gospel. Our concept and understanding of its power affects the way we live, and it also determines the way we die. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18, Peter said, he proclaims that the blood of Jesus is precious and that it should be cherished by believers. But the doctrine of the blood atonement has never been popular with the unbelieving world. They don't want to hear it. They say it's a gruesome and a terrible thing. They don't want to listen to it. A liberal theologian and pastor said the doctrine of the blood atonement portrays a slaughterhouse religion. And that's what many people are saying. Leaders of a religious group, they say it's we don't want the blood. And unbelievers have said, Christianity is absurd and a bloody religion. I'm so thankful for the blood. Without the blood, we would have no hope. It is foolishness to the faithless and a gory story to the godless. But it is an outrage to the opponents of the gospel. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I declare to you that the blood of Jesus spells defeat for the devil. Defeat. That's what we want. Defeat for the devil. And to the enemies of the cross of Christ. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 20. Jesus indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was foreordained that he would give his life before the world was ever created to become the sacrifice for sin. God had a plan from the beginning. God created man from the dust of the earth. Then in Genesis 2:7, it says that God breathed into him the breath of life and man became a living soul. The breath of God put something in man that made him alive. Was that something blood? What was it? There's life in the blood. It had to be, because in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, verse 11, says, for the life of flesh is in the blood. When life was added by the breath of God, he imparted to that lump of clay, that first Adam, he imparted the very liquid of life, blood, and that man became a living soul. But Adam ate the forbidden fruit and he died spiritually and ultimately physically. Since life is in the blood, sin was transmitted to all of Adam's descendants. We all are born in sin. David even said, in the womb, even I was in sin before my mother conceived me, gave birth to me. So the fact that sin is in the blood necessitated the virgin birth of Christ. The virgin birth means that Jesus was a son of Adam, but he did not inherit Adam's sinful nature because he did not have Adam's sin-infected blood flowing through his veins. His blood was perfect blood. I love the song that Sister Dee sings sometimes. It was precious blood. It was perfect blood, sinless blood. That is why Judas cried out in Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 4. He said, I have betrayed innocent blood. When he betrayed Jesus and Jesus was taken away, Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Because the blood of Jesus has no sin in it. He has no sin. And Paul explained in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, that who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is why Pilate said in Luke, the 23rd chapter, he said, I find no fault in him. Jesus had no fault. He took our sins, but he had no sin, no fault. Sin is in the blood of all mankind, and if sin is to be atoned for, sinless blood must be provided by someone who is totally unaffected by Adam's sin, and yet who belongs to the human race. And that one is Jesus. The virgin birth is a miracle. There had never been before, and there will never be again, a miracle like the birth of Jesus. Jesus is the only baby born who had an earthly mother and no earthly father. He had a heavenly father and no heavenly mother. He is the only baby ever born who was older than his mother and as old as his father. He is a divine miracle. Now, you can follow all of that. Remember that song, in my father's, Jesus told the people in the temple, there's a song that says, and then when they said, well, who are you? And he said, my father's line, I'm Emmanuel. In my mother's line, I'm Jesus. But anyway, Jesus is the God-man. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. As much God as if he had never become a man, and as much man as if he were never God. It's hard for us to comprehend, but Jesus had to lay aside his godness and come to earth and become a man. Jesus was King of Kings, Jesus Christ. When he was here on this earth, he was man enough to get thirsty. Yet he was God enough to say to the woman at the well, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Jesus was man enough to get hungry. And yet, he was God enough to take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and feed the 5,000. Jesus was man enough to get sleepy, and yet he was God enough to arise from sleep and still the storm. Jesus was man enough to get tired, but he was God enough to say, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus was man enough to eat with sinners in darkness, yet God enough to say, I am the light of the world. Jesus was man enough to be called the Nazarene, but he was God enough to be called Emmanuel. He was man enough to be called the Son of Man, but he was God enough to be called the Son of God. Jesus was man enough to be called a servant, but he was God enough to be called Savior. He was man enough to shed tears like drops of blood at Gethsemane, yet God enough to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Jesus was man enough to die an ignominious death on a cross, yet God enough to call 10,000 angels if he had chosen to do so. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb like a man, not like a God, but he was God enough 3 days later to come out of that tomb with all the power in his hand. Jesus is the God-man. He was man enough to say, touch my side and see that I am real, he said to Thomas. Yet he was God enough to step on a cloud of glory and go to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father on high. Jesus' virgin birth makes him the God-man. No other person could ever be what Jesus was. A TV host, Larry King, that some of you may remember probably, he asked hundreds of people thousands of questions. He was once asked whom he would like to interview. If he could choose anyone from all of history, who would you like to interview? And he replied, Jesus Christ. I would ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me, he said. We must believe that Jesus was virgin born. His blood was precious blood. Larry King died in 2021, and I hope that he had accepted Jesus and found that answer. I don't know, but Jesus is the answer to all of our questions. He is the Son of God, and yet he became a man to die for our sins. Our faith rises and falls on that one fact, virgin birth. It is the divinity of Christ through his virgin birth that qualifies him to pay the price for our sins. Otherwise, he could not have paid the price. His blood would be tainted. It would not be pure. Jesus had flowing through his veins that rich red royal blood, uncondemned, contaminated by sin. Blood that is fully capable of redeeming the vilest sinner. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19. He wrote, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. We think that you hear on the TV and on the radio, buy gold, lay up your treasures, buy silver. There's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus, and yet it is disdained by the world. The word redeemed, we sang that song today. Redeemed means to buy back. This was a word used in the slave trade. Slaves were put on the slave block and sold for gold and silver. In the same way, we were all slaves to sin, and we were placed on the auction block, so to speak. Something much more valuable than gold or silver was used to purchase our freedom. It was the precious blood of Jesus. We can no more be redeemed by silver and gold than was the Lindbergh child. Remember that story? Some of you remember, whose parents paid a $70,000 ransom to redeem their child. We wanted Mac alive, just $70,000, and this was during the Great Depression. But the child was not returned alive. It didn't work. Jesus paid our ransom price with his precious blood and gave us abundant life through that. Only the blood of Jesus can redeem us from the slave markets of sin. Redeemed, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God has shed his precious blood so you and I can experience a life of fullness and a life of joy. The story is told of a pastor who met a dirty-faced little boy who was holding a rusty birdcage containing several frightened sparrows that he had trapped. The pastor asked the boy what he was going to do with the birds. The little boy said, oh, I just like playing with them, poking them with this stick, and watching them flutter around in the cage. The pastor asked, then, what are you going to do with them? The boy said, I don't know, I guess probably I'll kill them. The pastor said, would you like to sell them? The boy replied, mister, you don't want these birds. They're just old field sparrows. We're just old field sparrows, so to speak. But we're precious to Jesus. The pastor said, I know what they are. Would you take $5 for them? The boy was amazed. $5? Sure, for that price you can have the cage too. The little boy walked off laughing about his good fortune, how he had gotten such a great price for those worthless sparrows. The pastor took the cage and opened the door. At first, the frightened birds huddled on the bottom.
But as he gently tapped the bottom, they began to stir. Then, one by one, the sparrows came to the door of the gate and perched there for a moment. And then they spread their wings and they flew away. The pastor told his congregation that as the birds circled the sky, it was as if they were singing, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed." When we are enslaved to the bondage of sin, we can be redeemed. Jesus saw us in our situation. Yeah, the devil came to kill, to destroy, to deceive. The devil had similar plans for a fallen race of sinners. Jesus said, "The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy." Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of sin. He knew all the silver and gold in this world would never pay the price. So he offered the silver of his tears and the gold of his precious blood. More precious than silver or gold were those. Have you ever thought about what we will sing in heaven? I have. I've thought about it a lot of times. We will not be singing "The King is Coming" because the King will have already come. We will not sing "The Sweet By and By" because we will be living in it. We will not be singing "More Like the Master" because we shall be like him in that day. Fanny Crosby said, "I shall behold him. Face to face, I shall behold him." You and I will. What then will be the theme of our song? We are told the theme of that song in Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse 12. "The redeemed of the Lord will sing a new song about the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing," he says. That will be the song that we sing. Not about the things, the tribulations I've had, not about anything that concerns me, but about his glory. And he is worthy of all glory and honor. The big song in heaven will be about the atoning death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In the 16th century, Philip II of Spain ruled over Holland. He was a ruthless king and tortured, maimed, imprisoned, and exiled thousands of people. When the people rose up in defiance, he sent a Spanish army to put down the rebellion. The city of Rotterdam held out valiantly for a while, and then finally fell before the Spanish army. The victors went from house to house, searching out the citizens, then killing them in their houses. In one house, a group of men, women, and children huddled together, 1,000 terrors gripping their hearts as the Spanish soldiers approached. Suddenly, a young man had an idea. Taking a goat belonging to the premises, he killed it. Then, with a broom, swept its blood under the door of the house. Then they waited breathlessly as footsteps approached. Soon the Spaniards were at the door, but one of them said, look at the blood running under the door. Come away, men. The work here is already done." A little later, the army withdrew, allowing a band of thankful people to emerge safe and sound. Their lives were spared because of the blood that was shed. We have been spared, protected from a fate worse than death by the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus promises protection. In the Old Testament, God chose to make the Holy of Holies in the temple his earthly dwelling place. This area of the temple was so sacred that only the high priest was allowed in, and only one time each year. And he went through a ceremony of purification before he could go in. He was only permitted to enter the Holy of Holies with the shed blood of an animal. Today, the only reason Christians can approach God is because Jesus shed his blood and provided for us direct access to God. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 19 and 20 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. There is no veil, there is no curtain, there is no wall of separation, no need for a so-called priest or a mediator anymore. We can enter into the presence of God because of the shed blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus provides power. Sometimes we forget about the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse and set the captive free. We forget about it. We hold the grudge. God forgives and He forgets. It's no longer, it's removed as far as the east is from the west. When He forgives, His blood cleanses. The story is told of a young woman with a sinful and rough past. She surrendered her heart to the Lord. Became a part of the church, and as time went on, she was involved in ministry. It was not long until this faithful young woman caught the eye of the pastor's son. The relationship grew, and they began to make wedding plans. That's when the problems began. Some of the church people did not think that a woman with a past such as hers was suitable for a pastor's son. The young woman became upset about all the things being brought up about her past, when she thought they were forgiven, when the Bible says God remembers them no more. The pastor's son said to the people, they had a meeting, and he said to the people, "My fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the power of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today you have put the blood of Jesus on trial. So does it wash away sin or not?" That's what we do when we hold against somebody. When they have been cleansed, the blood of Jesus takes away and makes us righteous. The church had been slandering the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we guilty of that? The blood of Jesus has the power to defeat Satan. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 11, "They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." He doesn't ask the question, "What's your past? Give me a record of all your past." You may go into a job interview and they want all your past history. God doesn't require it. All He wants to know is, are you cleansed? Has the blood of Jesus cleansed you? And it's wiped the slate clean. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, 11, "They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." I believe in Jesus. I receive Him and make Him Lord of my life. The blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross has the power to defeat the enemies, the devil. And that blood can cleanse you and me today if we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're watching this telecast today, and perhaps you have not made that commitment, but Jesus' blood was shed for you. It is precious blood, perfect blood, worth more than silver and gold. They're trying to sell you on a lot of things that will ensure and secure our future. There's only one security, that is in Jesus Christ. If you have not made Him Lord of your life, you have no security. This world, it has nothing to offer. Oh, yes, we have a lot of things that people say, you better invest here, invest there. But Jesus is the investment that you need to have for your life. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin and from all filthiness, and He gives you His righteousness. What greater gift can anyone receive than that? So today I ask you, as I pray, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Determine that you want that precious blood to flow through you, and you become His child. Heavenly Father, we come to You recognizing without the blood of Jesus, we are sinners. We are lost and undone. As the man said, that one question I would like to know, was he really virgin born? Yes, You are the Christ. You are the only one who has that pure blood, that blood that cleanses. We thank You that we can receive that. I pray today, O God, as we recognize our lack godliness, that we are sinners, that You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us Your righteousness and remember them against us no more. Every sin, let it be washed away. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you will help these who have made that commitment to forgive themselves and to commit to you the past. Let it be gone and follow in your footsteps. Recognize that you are now with them and walking with them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you have not, it's the greatest choice that you could ever make. There are decisions that people have to make every day, but this is the greatest, most important choice, more important than choosing the partner you're going to be married to or the job you're going to receive. And this Jesus is more important than any of that. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a blessed and wonderful week. Okay, be sure to tell everybody that Jack Zimmerman will be here on the 15th of September. And we have a new state bishop. I think he's going to be with us the last Sunday of September.